Hey, everyone. Thanks for calling in today. Obviously, tragic situation that I witnessed this morning. Just so you know, I'll give you a little bit of the background. I was at our congressional baseball game for charity baseball practice in Arlington, Virginia, a high school baseball field surrounded by a dog park, much activity in the morning, and was actually up to bat. And I heard a loud noise that I thought was a construction area, maybe dropping a large piece of metal. And the next thing I heard was one of my colleagues or somebody else on the field who said, "Run, he's got a gun." And I did just that. I dove in the dugout, ran away from home plate, dove in the dugout on top of other people who had already done that. I didn't figure that was the safest place to do it. And our safest place to stay, and I worked my way out of the dugout to safer territory, immediately outside the dugout first, then eventually across the street behind cars. And when I heard somebody say the shooter's coming around the corner of the field from the third base side, I guess, to where we were on the first base side, I and a few others ran down the street further, and a good Samaritan and an apartment building told us to come in, where I called 911. And I guarantee I wasn't the first 911 caller, but I went ahead and did it. And then I was able to call my family and tell them I was okay. The problem we have is, while this is all going on, I see my friend, not just my colleague, but my friend Steve Scalise, laying motionless in the outfield, and another former staffer who had been hit, bleeding on the ground. Today's a tragic day in American history, but today's got to be the day that we all stand together, and each and every one of you in the media plays a role in this, to stop this hateful political rhetoric that has led now to violence. We have to come together and make that happen. We can disagree on policies, but we have the ability as Americans to disagree on policies, because that's what makes our country great. If you don't like policies of someone who's elected, change them at the ballot box. But be respectful and kind, and stop the hateful, hateful rhetoric that I see coming out of politics, of Congress. I see it coming out of the news media. I see it on social media. Today's our day, and I'm going to do everything I can to work together, continue to work with my friends and colleagues on the other side of the aisle to send this same message. I heard we're going to play this baseball game tomorrow night, and I'm glad we are. I hope that the $600,000 that this game between Republicans and Democrats, the game of camaraderie, I hope and pray we double that money in one day to show people who want to commit a heinous act like this that we are not going to stand for it in this great country. Never thought I'd go to baseball practice and have to dodge bullets, guys and ladies, but we did today. But we're going to be a better country when we learn how to fix this problem. I'm going to open it up for questions.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. You will be prompted to unmute your phone and record your name. Once again, it is star 1 to ask a question. One moment for those to queue up. Our first question comes from Chuck Ross. Your line is open.
Hi, Congressman. I'm glad you're safe and you're well now. And we're all thinking about you, obviously. Let me ask you, I've heard what you said just now and also on CNN this morning. Given the reality of the situation, do you think that the protocol on all members of Congress, not just leadership or those in the line of succession, that you should look at changing that now? There should be just actually more protection for members of Congress as they go out into the streets and out of you know, on their daily lives.
Well, I've taken for granted what I consider safe environments, not only in Washington but back home, that I know I personally will be more cognizant of and will likely make decisions based upon that after going through what I went through today. What I didn't mention was two Capitol Police personnel, David and Crystal, who were there to protect Steve Scalise. They're the heroes of today. If they weren't there aggressively pushing back against this madman, it would have been a massacre of proportions that we haven't witnessed. And I just can't thank them enough. By God's grace, everyone of the good guys who was injured, it looks like they're on a path to recovery. And the madman's dead. And there's a warm place in hell for somebody like that.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Chris Renier. Your line is open.
Congressman Chris Renier from Fox 2 St. Louis. Glad you're okay. Thanks for talking with us.
Thank you.
A couple of things for you. Number one, if you will, take me back to that moment when this is happening, as you're standing there in the batter's box, if you're able to get a grip on what's happening, how terrifying that must have been. And secondly, when you're speaking about ending the divisive rhetoric in the political arena today, who does that fall on? Does it fall on everyone? Does it fall on a particular segment? And I just kind of want to get your thoughts on those two issues.
It falls on everyone. We have to use this day as our day where we finally said enough with the hateful rhetoric, regardless of where it comes from. And that means each and every one of you on this line bears some responsibility, just as I do, to make sure that you call it out, make sure that we talk about how we can have policy differences without turning it into something personal. This, as evidence begins to show in the shooter, obviously he was no fan of Republican policies. You settle those policy differences at the ballot box, not with bullets on a baseball field and in a park that's riddled with children and innocent people walking their dogs.
May I just follow up? Is the line still open?
Sure.
How about a message for your and finally, if you could address two things for me, just your, again, the emotions of as this is happening, how terrifying that must have been, and also a message for folks back in our neck of the woods here, back by your home. What do you want your constituents to know today?
Well, you don't have time to think when you hear the words, run, he's got a gun. You just take off, instinct takes over. So I don't really remember what I was thinking other than get out of there. And I can't believe this is happening. The message I want to send to everybody who's blessed me with the opportunity to serve in Congress is this. Regardless of what you see and hear, be it on social media, the news media, or wherever you get your news, Republicans and Democrats out here actually do get along. And the majority of what we do is bipartisan. The areas that we disagree that get so much attention, those are policy differences that can be debated and solved in the government that our forefathers created, where I'm blessed to serve. Those are the places where we have the debate. The debate shouldn't be with bullets on a baseball field at 7 in the morning with innocent people surrounding us. That's not what our country's about. America has to use this tragedy to our advantage to talk about how we govern together. And that's what I'm going to continue to do. So, next question.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Jim Leach. Your line is now open.
Congressman, again, let me echo the sentiments. We're glad you're okay. Can I ask first, and then I have a follow-up, but how are you doing emotionally after all of this?
Well, Jim, I feel fine. I mean, you probably never thought I was too emotionally stable anyway, right? in all seriousness, sometimes humor in a time like this is what's needed most. And I don't mean to be facetious, but yeah, this is pretty emotionally draining. I never in my life thought I would experience something that I did today. I will tell you a scene that I will never get out of my mind is looking back and seeing my friend Steve Scalise. Not just, you know, Steve Scalise isn't just the majority whip for the House Republicans. Steve Scalise is a friend of mine, a roommate of John Shimkus, but he's a dad to two young children. And I saw him laying in the outfield, motionless, and I thought he was dead. I'm so glad that he's recovering. I'm so glad he's okay. And by God's grace, he is.
And Congressman,
those are the images that I don't get out of my mind, Jim.
The follow-up is, it's one thing to make this appeal for everyone to simply ratchet down the rhetoric. We know in the age of social media, there's always going to be people trafficking in this. Are there policy proposals that might help to make a difference here to try to control some of the most hateful, angry, and violent rhetoric that is out there so readily available?
Jim, this isn't a problem government can solve. We have the freedom of speech in this country, and some take it to violent extremes. We have to come together as Americans and as all of us who are Illinoisans and say this hateful rhetoric's got to stop. I mean, it has to be done, Jim, and I want to continue to be a messenger of that.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Our next question comes from Bernie Schoenberg. Your line is now open.
Hi, Congressman. Also, glad you're okay and so sorry to go through what you had to go through today and your friends. A couple of things. Quickly, what does this indicate to you for anything about gun laws, if it makes you think of any reform or differences from what we have now, or are things where they should be? Secondly, I do want to just ask about the tone of the campaign. I want to ask if the president is at all at fault, or at the Republican convention, people were saying lock her up was the regular chant. And your campaign, like a couple of years ago against David Gill, saying he basically, you know, wanted to do a dangerous medical procedure where you didn't even talk about, he was talking about assisted suicide. Would you change anything? Is Trump to blame? And where are gun laws, given the situation today?
Come on, Bernie. I mean, my God. We saw a tragedy today. The rhetoric on all sides has to change, Bernie. All sides. And that's my message today. But I just don't believe you're listening to what I'm saying. All rhetoric, all sides are at fault. The political polarization that we see in this country is tragic. I see it. I've walked the streets of Springfield getting yelled at and spat on because of policy differences that we have. That's not what our forefathers imagined our republic would be when people stood up and said they want to go to Congress and help govern. I work with Republicans and Democrats every day. And let me tell you something. They're my friends. So to bring in policy proposals now in such a tragedy of where we may agree or disagree, I just don't think it's the right time to ask those questions, Bernie. I think this is a question of how we go beyond as Americans and how we actually move ahead rather than talking about where we disagree. And all of your line of questioning, I think, is all plays into where we disagree. And I'm sorry, but that's the way I feel today.
I understand. Just quickly, you have run negative ads. Your opponents have run negative ads. Is that part of the problem, and would you change that?
Are you I go to a baseball field, play a game with Democrats, the most bipartisan thing that we do in this Congress, to raise $600,000 plus for D.C. charities. And a crazy lunatic comes and shoots at us and shoots my friends. And you want to talk about political campaigns? Next question.
Our next question comes from Dave Dahl. Your line is now open.
Good afternoon, and thanks for being available. Congressman,
you just
used the expression crazed lunatic, and that's kind of what I was thinking, too, not just in this case, but in the Gabby Giffords case, which, you know, the conversations you're talking about we should have now, we should have had then, and you could argue the situation's worse now. And I'm wondering, given that, if you could draw for me a clearer line between the hate and rhetoric you're talking about and the individual from Belleville today, as opposed to the guy just being some nut or a crazed lunatic. And thanks.
Thanks, David. I don't have all the information, guys. I mean, look, after the shooting ended, I was whisked into a pen surrounded by police tape and told I couldn't leave. And so I gave a statement. My phone, my wedding ring, my shoes are still out there on the field as part of a crime scene. I haven't really had a chance to go into the news media to find out what's being reported other than this madman was from, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Belleville, Illinois. And the pictures that I've seen in passing having protesting against Republican policies. I don't care if you're protesting against Republican policies or if in the Gabby Giffords case you're mentally ill or if you're protesting against Democratic policies. The polarization in this country has to change. These are the types of issues that we face every day in how to come up with principled compromises in Washington, D.C. And the colleagues that I've run into since this tragedy this morning, they haven't talked about where we differ. They've talked about coming together. I had Democratic colleagues come up to me on the House floor, ears welled up, saying, I tried to call you, and I was worried until I saw you on TV that you weren't calling back. That's what Congress is about, ladies and gentlemen. It isn't just us standing up and screaming at each other. We develop true friendships, and we govern together an overwhelming majority of the time in a bipartisan way. Those are the things that I want to focus on today, and that's what I want to focus on in the future. I don't want any more Gabby Giffords tragedies. And I never thought in my life that I'd ever be part of a tragedy like this today.
Our next question comes from Jim Meadows. Your line is now open.
Hello, Congressman. I'm glad you're okay.
Thanks, Jim.
I was hearing your remarks, you know, about the need to move away from the hateful rhetoric, and also hearing you talking about the work that you see done on a bipartisan basis in Congress. How has it been in Congress over your time there in terms of how members of different parties get along personally and how they're able to work together, I guess both the members and their staffs as well? Has it gotten worse, or is it just not affected the same way as other people seem to be affected?
Well, let me tell you, Jim, my time in Washington, remember, I won a very close race in 2012 and came with a big political target on my back. My goal was to get to know everybody. Like I remember about an hour and a half after I got here for my first orientation, I took a picture with Nancy Pelosi. She didn't really expect it, but I did because I want to get to know everybody as a person. And I got some really good friends on the other side of the aisle that we've worked together on a wide variety of issues. These are the things that happen in Washington that don't get written about. We don't see in a lot of stories about bipartisan bills that pass overwhelmingly that we vote on a regular basis, because it's not sexy enough, because it's not the issue of the day, and it doesn't rise to the level that has given us what I would say more of a polarized environment, because the focus is always and constantly, just be it social media, be it in the news media, it's always on the areas we disagree. My job now, as I move forward from going through this today, is I'm going to call out the good stuff. I'm going to call out where we agree. And talk about how what we do in Washington and what happens in Washington mostly is bipartisan. And talk about making sure that we can come together even when we disagree. And solve our differences at the ballot box, not with bullets.
Is there more that can be done on the difficult issues where there is disagreement?
That's why we vote. That's why we vote in Congress. That's why we tell the voters who send us here what our philosophies are. And then we vote. So the answer is yes, but there are going to be differences that have to be settled by votes. And that's where it seems that the rhetoric has gotten so politically tainted and hate-filled that it becomes kind of entertainment value to have stories written that talk about policies killing people. You know, if you think that's okay, no matter whether you agree or disagree with me or Republican or Democrat, I think it's wrong. All right,
we have any more questions?
Our next question comes from Leon Hendricks. Your line is now open.
Hey, Leon.
Leon, your line is open if you could check your mute button. We'll move on to Jack Jones. Your line is now open.
Congressman, thanks for joining us today. Glad you're okay. Two questions for you. First of all, talking about the rhetoric, as you mentioned, between Democrats and Republicans, I'm here in Jacksonville, and I just want to talk a little bit about what we can do in Illinois. We have a Republican governor and a Democratic, General Assembly. What can we do in Illinois to remove that rhetoric?
Well, hopefully it's days like today where we saw tragedies unfold, that we can send a message to those who govern at all levels that we have to work together. We have to get things done. There's always going to be political campaigns. There's always going to be elections. And let's settle our differences at the ballot box. But today's tragedy reminds me that I've got to be a messenger of optimism and a messenger of what actually is the truth. And the truth is Republicans and Democrats at all levels get along personally. There are areas of disagreement and policy differences, but it's up to all of us to stand up when the policy differences become filled with hate and to change that. Those are the things that we have to do, and those are the things that I'm intending to do. And I hope the two campuses in Jacksonville can come together and talk about where we have differences and where we agree. And I would bet you most people would find out that regardless of whether you pull a Republican or Democrat ballot in the primary, you actually are able to find agreement on most issues. And that's how you govern.
Well, I'm sure the campuses in Jacksonville would love to have you here, Congressman. The second question I have for you.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, what's that?
Second question I have for you is, do you believe somebody was a specific target in this tragedy? Do you believe that Steve Scalise was specifically targeted, or was it Republicans in general?
I have no idea. Like I said, I just know that it's not a coincidence that no bullets were flying anywhere outside the baseball field, and that's where Republicans were at. I don't know if anybody was a specific target, and that's for the investigators to find out.
Thank you, Congressman.
I got time for one more, guys. I apologize. And thank you for being on here. Forgive me if I get impatient today. It's been a little rough day, but I appreciate the opportunity to talk to everyone. So we got one more?
Our last question comes from Tom Lisi. Your line is now open.
Thank you, Congressman, for doing this, and I appreciate your coolness after a very traumatic incident here. Can you talk about where your staff was when all this went down today, and can you also maybe talk about, you know, something that's stuck in your mind from that happened today in the aftermath, as far as hearing from Democrats or an act of bravery that you saw during or after this happened?
Sure. I don't know where my staff was. I ride with another member of Congress out to practice, and we start practice at 6:30 in the morning. So my staff was doing what they do normally every morning, I guess, at home. But I did let them know I was okay. I had to borrow a phone from somebody. Same thing I did with my family. I remember
Now, I'm going to give you two things that I remember because I already talked about seeing Steve Scalise down on the ground, what I thought was motionless, and also seeing a former staffer just with covered with blood on his chest. Those images will haunt me the rest of my life. I saw the heroic actions of the two Capitol police officers who are the heroes of today. They were there to protect Steve Scalise, and they protected me and everybody who was in that park, every man, woman, and child and pet, and every man, woman, and child who was on that field. They're the heroes. I'll remember that. That sticks out. And I'll always remember the phone call I had to make to my wife to tell her I was okay and I wasn't shot. And my kids.